Do you enjoy seasons of bad weather?
Today, our Reflections of Hope episode shows us why we should embrace whatever bad weather or seasons come into our lives.
Plus, we're continuing our exclusive series with Dr. John Beckham on Knowing God.
Tag along, friends.
Good morning, friends. You know, we're excited to be here with you sharing the hope and love of Jesus.
Do you have a furry friend at home, or maybe a not-so-furry friend, maybe a scaly friend? Well, today is National Pet Day, a beautiful reminder of the love and joy our animal friends bring us.
Oh, that's so true. Isn't it amazing that God gives us animals to enjoy life with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's one of the most precious gifts, and our pet pals don't usually seem to have a bad day or bad attitude. They're always happy to see us, aren't they?
That's so true. They can remind us to trust in Jesus in spite of what our day has looked like. They remind us to be joyful, faithful, and loyal to our Lord no matter what we go through.
You know, it reminds us that God is always faithful to us. In Psalms chapter 36, verse 5, it says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds."
Friend, today, no matter what you face, remember that God's faithfulness never ceases. It never ends. He is working out your best good.
Amen. So now let's begin our program with a segment we like to call This Day in History.
On this day in history in 1970, Apollo 13, the third lunar landing mission, launched successfully from Cape Canaveral, Florida, with astronauts James A. Lovell, John L. Swigert, and Fred W. Hayes on board. The mission aimed to explore the Fra Mauro Highlands of the moon and conduct geological experiments in the Imbrium Basin. However, following an oxygen tank explosion on April 13, the primary objective shifted to safely returning the Apollo 13 crew to Earth. The crew was about to enter the moon's orbit, and two of the men were to walk on the moon. However, their plans were shattered when one of their oxygen tanks blew up. The men now faced the impossible task of staying alive for 90 hours as they navigated over 200,000 miles of space. The spacecraft they were on now was only designed to hold two men for 45 hours. Thankfully, the men survived the ordeal, but not without enduring freezing cold temperatures and only a fifth of the water they had originally rationed for themselves. They went through a terrible and unexpected ordeal, but they survived.
Have you ever gone through a terrible ordeal? Maybe you're in the middle of one right now. And as you face unpredictable trials, friends, take heart. Cling to Jesus. He has promised to never leave you, never forsake you. He has promised to be your help and stay. Trust Him to get you through it all.
Amen. And He will.
He will.
Speaking of going through some unexpected ordeals, sometimes bad weather can catch us off guard. How can we learn to embrace the seasons of bad weather in our own life? Tune in to today's Reflections of Hope episode as we explore the answer with Pastor Taj Pakleb.
As I've had the privilege of traveling all over the world, my eyes have seen some incredible things. Every country I've visited is beautifully unique. In every place, there's a unique revelation of the Creator through the things that He has made. But without a doubt, some of the most incredible things my eyes have seen are right here in Iceland. Each location we visited is uniquely different, but even going back to the same locations provides a whole new experience due to the constant changing of the weather. Now, if there's one thing we've learned from our short time here in Iceland, It's simply this. You can't run from the weather. It would be a waste of time to wait for perfect conditions. And it's a big mistake to try to chase good weather. For even in the shadows of the clouds and the coldness of the wind and the rain, God's beauty is revealed. You see, as human beings, so much of what we do or don't do is determined by the weather. If it's rainy and cold, we typically stay indoors. If it's sunny and hot, we have an inkling to get outside. Now, this was far more the case back in the day, before the days of central heating and air conditioners. But yet, it is still true today that the weather impacts us to one degree or another. That's why every news station has a weather report, a forecast to inform us of what to expect, so that we can make the necessary preparations for our plans. But friends, there are some appointments and activities in life that just need to happen, rain or shine. Urgent decisions that need to be made that cannot wait for good weather. Assignments that need to be carried out, no matter how cold or dark or rainy it gets. The most important of all of these decisions is one for eternal salvation. But tragically, many times, just like the weather, we allow outside conditions to dictate inward choices. We allow the temperature to change our temperament, the darkness to strengthen our doubts. But the Bible says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. In other words, if you wait for perfect conditions to sow, you will never enjoy the blessings of reaping. You reap what you sow, but if you do not sow, you will not reap. It requires an investment of time, energy, and resources to sow. But what we reap in return is worth it all. Now, this is true in every aspect of life, whether it be business, relationships, health and fitness, education, but especially eternal salvation. But tragically, throughout the changing seasons, I've seen so many people allow the weather of circumstance to keep them in the comfort zone of carnal security. They're happy to serve God in the sunshine of temporal prosperity. But as soon as the wind of adversity blows, then they are carried away into a whirlwind of wickedness. When the skies are clear, they have no fear. But when the rain drops, they're ready to stop, to give up their faith, to let go of their commitment. My friend, just like the weather, our circumstances change from day to day. But no matter what the season or circumstance, God is calling us to remain the same, to remain faithful in the storm of fierce adversity, and in the calm of sweet surrender, to trust him in the sunshine of cheerfulness and in the rain of heaviness, to be ready for every season and every storm come what may. Here in Iceland, we've learned not only to accept the constant changing of the weather, but also to embrace it, to see God's power working in every place, in every condition of every day and in every season. For even though the weather may change, he is the God whose love for us remains the same. And so today I encourage you, don't run from bad weather and stop chasing good weather. Rain or shine, just embrace it. When the days of toil are long and the nights of rest are short, embrace it. When you expected the sunshine of cheerfulness, but you got the rain of sorrow instead, embrace it. Through the stinging cold of criticism or the blazing heat of hardship, embrace it. Jesus said that the storms would come to pass. They would not come to stay. And just as it came, God promises that it will surely come to pass. So embrace the weather. Hold on to Jesus. And when you trust him in adversity, he will trust us in prosperity. And soon he will return in the clouds of heaven to take us to a land where it's sunny all the time. And by God's grace, I'll meet you in that sweet by and by.
We have to take a short break now, friends, but when we return, we will have a short segment on Bible and Christian living. And later, Dr. John Beckham joins us as he continues his series on knowing God.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend, and don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us. Right now, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
I love dead animals.
I like mine alive. What's so good about dead ones?
They taste good.
Oh, but those factory-farmed animals are full of antibiotics.
Oh, more antibiotics in my diet. Well, that's like eating preventive medicine. That's good for me, isn't it?
No, regular antibiotics cause bacterial resistance and create superbugs, and they maim and kill.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
Mm-mm. And those factory-farmed animals are given hormones.
Oh, more hormones in my diet. Well, that will make us men more manly and you women more womanly, won't it?
Not necessarily. What if it makes women more manly and men more feminine and maybe impotent?
Oh, that's not good at all.
And maybe it would make cancers grow faster.
Oh, cancers growing more fast? That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. And then there's E. coli and salmonella, foodborne diseases found in beef and chicken. That's beef, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm. Do you want to hear more?
Oh, I feel sick. Get me a doctor.
I'm a doctor. How can I help?
Stop talking about meat.
Oh, you mean you don't want to hear about listeriosis and botulism, which cause miscarriages and death?
Oh, I feel sick.
Oh, grow up. You're fine.
I am?
Yes, you just need to be a lot more careful about what you eat. And so do you. Doctor's orders.
God wants us to be physically and spiritually healthy. What are the keys to a healthy lifestyle in both aspects? Let's find out on today's segment of Bible and Christian Living.
Most people know that exercise is an essential part of a healthy lifestyle. Keeping active reduces the risk of obesity, protects the heart, and helps to burn calories. But did you know exercise is good for the head as well? Let's go to CrossFit Conquer in Kerikeri. These endorphins interact with the receptors in your brain that reduces your perception of pain. So what does endorphins mean in layman's terms? Well, it goes like this. When you start exercising, your brain starts to figure out something is happening and it says, oh no, your heart pressure is increasing. Something stressful is going on. So to protect yourself and your brain from stress, you release this protein called BDNF, which has a protective and repairing element to your memory neurons and acts as a rest switch. That's why people who exercise often feel so at ease and things seem clearer after exercising. This is also why you feel positive and energized after a good workout. So after a day's hard work, and if your stress levels are ready to explode, do some form of exercise. Go for a walk, a run, or visit your local gym so you can feel amazing again. If you haven't exercised for some time, I encourage you to get up off the couch and start to move it, as one of my good friends will say. It's interesting that so many of us spend so much time making sure our bodies are healthy. But how many of us make sure we exercise our spiritual life? The God who made us wants us to be in good health, in our minds, our bodies, and spiritually. If you want to start some spiritual exercise, here are three steps to get you started. One, talk to God. We call this prayer. This is time communicating to Him, thanking Him, telling Him our joys and sorrows, and pouring out our heart to Him. Second, read the Bible. It's one way God speaks to us and guides us personally. And there are so many good spiritual exercises to be found in the pages of the Bible. Lastly, trust what you have read and prayed about. Then go through your day knowing you've been wonderfully made by God. We can physically exercise all we want, but at the end of the day, it's of little use if our spiritual condition is, well, non-existent. Just like physical exercises helps us be fitter and healthier, spiritual exercises can give happiness and real purpose to life. If that is something you are seeking, then start with the three steps. Pray to God, read the Bible, and trust God.
We now have to take a short break, but stay with us. After the break, we will have today's devotional thought in our series on knowing God.
In the meantime, don't forget to check out our YouTube and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time to continue our series with Dr. John Beckham on knowing God for today's devotional thought.
A fictional and humorous story is told of a group of scientists who decided humans have now come so far that we no longer need God. Of course, many scientists are themselves believers in God. This is just a humorous story and not meant to reflect negatively on scientists. So this particular group selected one scientist to tell God, we don't need him anymore. This selected scientist then told God, we've decided we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things. Well, God listened patiently and kindly, and then he replied, okay, how about this? Let's have a human-making contest. Great, the scientist replied. Now, God continued, we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. No problem, the scientist said. Then he bent down and grabbed a pile of dirt. No, no, God said, go get your own dirt. Now, this silly story illustrates an important point. God is the creator of all, the creator in a unique way that no mere human or other creature could be. There is the creator, who is God, and there is everything else. This is known as the creator-creature distinction. The Bible teaches in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then later in Genesis 1, 31, and God saw everything he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Elsewhere, Scripture teaches God created all things, and by his will, they exist and were created. As the creator of all, God transcends creation. And the God of Scripture not only creates all, but even now, according to Scripture, is upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, many people mistakenly think the world just goes on of its own accord, not realizing that the existence of everything is sustained right now, even as I speak, by the power of God. God depends on nothing. He exists of himself. But everything else depends on God. We need God, but he does not need us. The Bible directly teaches that God needs nothing. So cutting yourself off from God is a bit like cutting off the branch you are sitting on. Life only exists and continues because of God and depends on him. In him is life. Now, if we truly recognize this, it is awe-inspiring. The only appropriate response is worship. As Revelation 14, verse 7 proclaims, worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. Do you see in that verse the words of creation? He is worthy of worship because he made everything and he sustains everything. Now, have you ever made something just for the sheer joy of it? A work of art or something out of wood? Or perhaps you've written an essay or something else. Have you ever created something out of love? God's creation of the universe was an act of profound love and joy. Although God needs nothing, God wanted to share His love with creatures and give His creatures the ability to love Him and to love one another. God created you, and He created me for relationship out of His overflowing love. Here again, the only appropriate response is worship. Accordingly, heavenly creatures in Revelation proclaim, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." This is good news of great hope. Wonderful news indeed. That the same God who is love and loves you enough to give His own life for you is the self-existent creator of all. A story is told of a young girl talking with her grandfather. "Did God make you, Grandpa?" she asked. "Yes, God made everything. He's the creator of the whole world," Grandpa replied. "Wow," the granddaughter replied. "So God made you too?" "Well, yes," Grandpa answered. "He made me and He made you." The little girl looked at the many wrinkles on his face and his bald head and said, "I think he's getting better at it." Now, this story is cute, but it points to a sad truth about our world as it is now. In our world, not only is everything constantly changing, but things that are alive are aging and in the process of dying. Something is wrong. This sad truth was not part of our world as originally created. God made everything very good. But we live now in a fallen world, filled with evil and sin, including in us. How can this be if God created everything good? Imagine viewing a work of art in a gallery. Suppose that in some ways, this work of art looks like a masterpiece, and yet it is also filled with ugliness. How you understand this work of art will differ greatly depending on whether you believe it is the work of one person alone, or whether you come to know that it was the work of one person that was later vandalized by someone jealous of that artist. The way the world is now is a bit like this. God created this world, but it has been vandalized by the enemy, the devil, the one who seeks to destroy all that is good and pure and loving because he is jealous of God and seeks to slander God's name at every opportunity. Much in this world does not seem to make sense because God's good design was vandalized by the enemy within an ongoing cosmic conflict. So this world is not as God originally intended or created it. We live in a fallen, evil-filled world. Yet here also, there is good news. For if God created the world, He can recreate you and me. He can take whatever is wrong with you and me and make us new again. And He promises to do that for anyone who places their faith in Jesus. As 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 teaches, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And God Himself promises to make all things new in the end. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Whatever is going on in your life today, there is a future for you with God. You can depend on Him for everything. You already do, whether you realize it or not. And He promises He will make all things new in the end. And He will make you a new creation if you put your trust in Him.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Peckham.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you would like to learn more about our program, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. Pastor Mark Finley will be with us for a devotional thought, and we will have several inspiring segments designed to inspire you with the unfailing hope of Jesus.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study.
Well, friends, that's the end of our show for today. But of course, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise.
That's right. And today's promise is found in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord.
Amen. You know, our righteousness is from Him, and He's given us such a blessed heritage of peace and protection. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this just gives us so much peace. Thank you so much, Lord, that you stand with us. You're on our side. And if you are with us, no one can be against us. And so we're so thankful, Lord, for the hope that fills our hearts right now. May you guard our hearts, that we would keep this hope throughout this entire day with you. In Jesus' name, amen.